Yeah, amen. Put a smile on your face. It's good to be in the house of God. And they're taking a step down tonight. They heard the good preaching today up around Hilton.
Doctor somebody.
Yeah. And they're taking a step down tonight. And
I don't know about that.
But I'm glad you're here anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. And Brother Tracy's been after me to preach this message ever since I mentioned it last Thursday. So I'm preaching this for him. I hope we all can get something out of it. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Boy, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't understand all of it. I'm going to be honest with you. Solomon much wiser than I am. But I sure do like going through it, and I've studied it many times. But one of my favorite chapters is chapter 3. I love this particular passage of Scripture. And verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together in your house. I pray, dear God, that you will do a work in our midst. I ask, dear God, that the Holy Spirit of God would be able to penetrate each heart. And Lord, I pray whatever the need is, that will be filled tonight. Take this old preacher, use him one more time, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about that word time. And hold your finger here in Ecclesiastes. And because we're going to come back there, I think. But look, if you will, back here in Genesis. Clear back in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And you're well aware of this. There's nothing I'm going to say tonight that's new. It's all been said before, and you know all these things. It's just to stir up our memories. If the Lord allows me to, tomorrow night I'm going to preach about the God of all comfort. And Thursday night, we got Memorial Day coming up. Thursday night I'm going to talk about Memorial. And Friday night I'm going to talk about His appearing. And so that's the way the week should end up. But sometimes God changes things. Amen. But that's the lineup. And hopefully I'll have a message each night that follows that order. Amen. But I want you to notice here in Genesis chapter 1. Look down in verse 1. We'll start there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. There was no blob. There was no big bang. Everything didn't just fall into place.
Yeah, come on.
There was no little bit of water out there and a squiggly squirm that got electrically charged. There was no dividing and subdividing. There was no growing into a fish and deciding that it wanted to walk on the ground. None of that. In the beginning, God. It all begins with God. For John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Salvation in the beginning, God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So in the beginning, God. Let's get that established right now. All of this is because of God.
Amen.
And it's the finger of God, not the ice age and all the other nonsense that people come up with. It's the finger of God that created it all. The heavens declare the glory of the evolutionary process. No. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
And the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Amen.
Boy, I get excited just to think about that. God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Man, it'd save a lot of paper that He's printed on and all those goofy pictures of apes and so on and so forth if He had just believed the first verse of the Bible.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So what we see there in the first five verses of the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we see that God created time. We have a daytime and a nighttime. We have a division of time. And so the first day, we just saw it, the first day. Now God, think about this with me. God inhabits eternity. So time is really meaningless to Him. It doesn't matter to Him. As a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day.
Yeah.
So this earth has been in existence for some 6,000 years, and it's been a couple of blinks of His eye. That's all. God lives in eternity. And time was created for man. It's for our purpose, not His purpose. Daytime is important to us. Nighttime is important to us. So God created time. And He created it for us. And by the way, in the beginning, God. Never forget that. It's God. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you five time nuggets tonight. All right? I don't know how many faith nuggets I gave. Four faith nuggets last night. Four faith nuggets last night. I'm going to give you five time nuggets tonight. Okay? You listen quick, and we'll be done sometime before midnight.
Amen.
Number one, the reason for time. The reason for time. We're still here in Genesis. Look down here in verse 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. All right, this is time. What's it for? Well, it's day and night, and it's for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Look at verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. It's like there in verse 16, is the stars are an afterthought. He just threw them up there. But He gave more concern concerning the sun and the moon than He did all the stars. Man can't even count the stars. Billions upon billions of stars out there. And we have all those stars, and we can pretend like we know how many are out there. We can't even touch the number of stars. God not only knows how many stars there are, but He knows them by name. My goodness. So we have an infinite God that has just as an afterthought thrown the stars into existence. That doesn't mean He didn't plan them.
Yeah.
That just means He just tossed them out there. And we can enjoy them on a nightly basis. Amen. Now, as we read on verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now here's the interesting thing. There was a purpose for it all. God made it for us, for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And we can keep track of all of this. And that's why we have history. We can go back. And we can go back to 1848 and know exactly what happened in 18. Anybody know what happened in 1848?
Yeah,
neither do I.
Moment.
Oh, what?
Women's rights moment. Good call on that one.
Brother Dave.
You have to stay.
You got six lines under your name for that one.
You're the one who brought the date.
I know. Forgive me for that, please. Only Dave Cranmer knows what was happening in 1848. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that we can go back in history. All those, dates are for a reason. We can go back and look back and see what happened to those dates. And so God made the day. And think about this. He made the daytime. As a matter of fact, it tells us in the book of John, I think it's John chapter 11, that there's 12 hours in the day. Now, we know there's 24 hours in the day. Well, no, wait a minute. He's talking about daylight time.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? So there's 12 hours in the day. So it stands to reason there's 12 hours in the night. So we have a 24-hour day. In the first part of this, in the first five verses, we know that there was a day, and the division of the day was light time and dark time. So there's day. But you know who's bound by time and those days? Man. We're bound by that. That's our boundary. That's our limitation. And we can live according to the days. Now, every one of you has a birthday.
Amen.
Birthday. Okay? Not, don't be like my middle son who thinks it's a birthday month and takes the whole month. But no, the particular day you were born, you know, wherever that may be, you know, you have that date. So these days were bound by days. We were born on a particular day and we live and we celebrate that day every year. Unless you're my sister and then she gets to a certain day and she disappears and I'm not going to celebrate any more birthdays. And so she just disappears. We can't find her anymore. But man is bound by time. Think about it. Everything we do during the day, it's get-up time. Wake up! I remember when I was a kid, Mom would pound on the door. Get up! It's time to get up! Remember your mom doing that? Time to get up! Go away, Mom. No, it's time to get up! She wouldn't leave. She wouldn't let me go back to sleep. So, time to get up. We're bound by that. Time to go to work. Breakfast time. Then we go to work. Amen. Time to clock in it on the job. It's break time. You have that 15-minute break or whatever. And then it's lunch time. Then it's quitting time. And then it's supper time. Then it's time to go to church. Then it's time to watch the news. Then it's bedtime. And then it all starts over again the next day. Get up time. Time to get up! Amen? And then we have harvest time. We have planting time. We have all these different times. And we're bound by those things. I live in Iowa, and boy, I tell you what, the farmers are getting worried about planting time. They have to put it off and put it off because it's like 3 weeks ago, we still had snow on the ground. They couldn't plant corn with snow on the ground, so that had to get off the ground, melt away, and the frost had to get out of the ground so they could plant the corn and so on and so forth. It's time. We're bound by time. God created the time for us.
Amen.
You see, that's why we have time. That's the reason for time. We go to, you go to school. You have a particular time. A lot of the kids don't care about that time, but there's a time that school day starts, your classroom, and you can be 5-10 minutes into it, and some are still coming into the room because they don't know what time it is. But the fact of the matter is, you're bound by that time. And doesn't the district, they keep track of the time that you have classes. And so all of that, you're bound by that. We are ruled by time, aren't we? Sure we are. I want you to go back here to Ecclesiastes. I told you we were going to. So don't be complaining about it now. But look at this. Notice what it says here in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 2. It's a time to be born. We talked about that. That's our birthday. And a time to die. You know, Memorial Day's coming up and we go out to the cemeteries and we put flowers on the graves. And, you know, we haven't done it for a few years because we haven't been around during Memorial Day. But we used to go and put flowers on her parents, my parents, our grandparents' graves. And we'd go to all the different cemeteries and, you know, just, and I shouldn't say enjoy, but what we do is memorialize their life. We remember certain things about them that were very special to us. And sometimes it brings a tear to your eye as you stand there at the grave. But we take the time to plant some flowers there. So there's a time to die. None of us looks forward to that. Do you? No. Nobody looks forward to that. So there's a time to die. And then notice it says here, a time to plant. We've already talked about that, a planting time, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. To everything there is a season and a time. So we have all these times, and we are bound by those times in our life. So there's a reason for time. And I know the preacher mentioned, I think it's over there in Revelation chapter 10, where it'll be time no more. I think there's going to come a time when time will be meaningless. When you think about the tribulation period, the darkness and the chaotic things that are going on during the tribulation period, there won't be any energy, there won't be any sun the solar panels to get electricity. The wind won't be blowing anymore, and the windmills that generate all the electricity will be gone. It's going to be a time of darkness, and so there's not going to be people rushing around to go to work. They're going to be rushing around trying to save themselves. They're going to be rushing around trying to survive what's going on during the tribulation period. Time will be meaningless to them at that point. And that's the way I interpret that passage of Scripture, but it could be very different than that. So there is a reason for time. Number two, the Bible tells us, look if you will over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter 5 that there's something that we should do. It's redeeming the time. And we have a reason for time, and now we're to redeem the time. Notice what it says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Boy, certainly this is ever true. It's true today. We're living in some very evil times. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us to redeem the time. Now, how do you redeem time? Think about this. How do we redeem our time? It would seem to me that the Lord is expecting something that's impossible on our part. We can't redeem time. You can't bring time back. You can't bring yesterday back. It's already been lived. You can't bring this afternoon back. It's already been lived. So you can't do that. You can't bring last year back. It's impossible, and you're not going to live until you get to tomorrow. All right. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do you realize that he didn't say tomorrow is the day of salvation? Because you don't know if you're going to make it into tomorrow. And if you do, it's not tomorrow anyhow. It's today. You understand? It's always today. So we're living in the day right now. We're not living in the past and we're not living in the present. We're living in the right now. Now is the accepted time. You're here tonight and you're not saved. My Bible says now is the accepted time, not later. You don't know. Well, you say, I've got a lot of time. Well, time is so uncertain. You don't know how much time you've got. You know, I can remember years ago, somebody saying, well, you're not going to live very long. You haven't got a long lifeline. You're going to die at a very young age. Well, I fooled them. Amen. Lived longer than they thought I was going to live. But the fact of the matter is, you're not assured of living. I don't care how long the lifeline you have, you're not assured of living a long time. Time does come to an end, but redeeming the time, how do we redeem the time? I want to show you something that I think that I can substantiate from the Word of God. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1 and notice what it says down here in verse 7. Now, the whom here in verse 7 is talking about Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, think about this with me for just a minute. When Adam fell into sin, the curse was placed upon this old earth. Don't you think that that curse also included time? It included the days that we live in, these cursed days that we live in. So if we're going to redeem the time, there's only one way to redeem something, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, I believe, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, there's no redemption. There's no redeeming without the shedding of blood. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that anything is redeemed. So the Lord tells us here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, we need to redeem the time. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have to bathe it each day, each moment, each hour, each second in the blood of Jesus Christ. Bathe each day in the blood of Jesus Christ. Consecrate each moment to Him. Now, if we're going to redeem the time, we can't do it in the flesh. It's impossible. I remember reading about Jonathan Edwards and his resolutions, and he resolved never to waste one moment of time. Now, I guarantee you that there was some wasted time in his life. Guarantee. Why? How do I know that? He was a human being. I look back on my life and I think about all the time that I've wasted. Listen, there's times that I've enjoyed myself. There's times that I've had good time. We've gone to ball games. But I look back and I say, what a waste of time. One of these days when I stand before the Lord, you see, I think, wow, I've lived a pretty good life. He's going to shake his head. Well, here's all the time you wasted that you could have been using for my honor and glory. But if we get up in the morning and we get down on our knees and we bathe the day in the blood of Jesus and consecrate that day in the name of Jesus and give Him every moment of time, we're not going to waste that time. We're going to live it for His honor and glory. That's how you redeem the time. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's His day. This is not mine. See, we think we're the owners. We're not the owners. We think we're in charge. We're not in charge. We think that we're in control. We're not in control. We need to turn it all over to the Lord. And let the Lord take us and use us every moment of the day. That's how you redeem the time. By allowing Him to take control of you and let Him guide you through each moment of the day. Lord, I understand something. I understand that I'm not worth the powder and lead to blow me up. I understand that I'm just flesh. That's all I am is flesh. And there's nothing good in the flesh. I want to tell you something, Lord, there's nothing good. But I want to die to the flesh. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And as the Lord lives through me, I can live for the honor and glory of the Lord every second of today and not waste this day like I've wasted so many in the past. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You give that day to Jesus and I guarantee you, you'll live above this evil time that we're living in. And it won't be a wasted day. Next. Number three, robbers of time. Robbers of time. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about the national pastime and all these other things. Well, I could do that, but I don't think that's necessary. Look, if you will, over here in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And I'll tell you what robs time. Robs us of time. Romans, chapter 8. Look down, if you will, in verses 7 and 8. Now, we could read a lot of scriptures here, but we just want to read these two right now. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Read that again. What's enmity with God? Carnal mind. You know what a carnal mind is? That's a mind that's not redeemed by the blood. Now, there are saved people that have carnal minds. They've let their minds go back to the way it was before they were saved. But the fact of the matter is, a carnal mind cannot please God. In other words, you can't do the things that are necessary in this life to please God if you have a carnal mind. So we let carnality take control of our life. We look at this life differently than we should through the eyes of God. And we see our pleasure as more important than serving God. We see our pursuit of happiness as more important than serving God. We see our jobs as more important than serving God. We even see our families as more important than serving God. What, preacher? Our families are not important? Well, my Bible says if you don't hate your father and mother, Jesus is supposed to come first. Seek ye first mom and dad. Oh, no, that's not what it says, is it? Seek ye first your kids. No, that's not what it says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, the carnal mind puts everything first before God. The carnal mind says, boy, it'd be a good thing to go down and watch the Yankees play. And so let's waste about $2,000 and go down there, and let's watch the Yankees play. I mean, we used to do it. We used to go see Cardinal games every year. Several times a year, we'd go down and see the Cardinals game. But that was back in the days you could buy a seat for $10. Yeah. Not in the days nowadays. You can't touch seats for $10. And if they are $10, they're outside the stadium someplace. You're not going to find a seat that's cheap. Folks, I want you to understand something. The carnal mind puts everything before God. And you cannot please God in the flesh. You just can't do it. Now, look over here in the book of James. We waste so much time because of the carnal mind. Then James chapter 4 and verse 4. Another thing that robs us of time is the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now that doesn't necessarily mean we're guilty of physical adultery, but it's talking about spiritual adultery. When we leave God out of our life. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You see, the world certainly doesn't care about the things of God. The world wants to do things its own way. Matter of fact, the world is ridiculing you because you're in church on Tuesday night. Well, look at those crazy people. What are they doing in church on Tuesday night? It is Tuesday, isn't it? Tuesday night. What's wrong with those people? They go to church. They went to church last night. They went to church Sunday night. What's wrong with those people? They carry Bibles. Weirdos. They're strange. See, the world sees things a lot different than we do. And they don't see the necessity of doing things God's way. They don't see the necessity of surrendering our lives to God rather than surrendering our lives to the way of the world. Then, the old devil, he stands in the way. He robs us time. Look, if you will, over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Notice what it says here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Now there's a lot more to this passage, but this is all I want right here in verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who hath taken them captive by him, or who are taken captive by him at his will. What's a snare? It's a trap. It's a trap. Do you realize there's a lot of traps out there? And so many people get caught into those traps. You know, if we're backslidden, it's easy to be caught into those traps. We see the beer commercial, and doesn't that look fun? I mean, after all, every time you see a beer commercial, they're having fun. They're out there dancing, having a good time. Everybody has a smile on their face. They're joking with one another. Man, I'd like to be a part of that party. Well, if I drink that particular brand of beer, certainly they'll invite me over. You know, I'll have a good time. And all the women will be drawn to me. See, that's the snare of the devil. He doesn't show you the end result. He doesn't show you the alcoholic that's lying in the gutter out there. He doesn't show you. Back when I, years ago, I pastored in a little town in southern Iowa called Albia. And there was a fella in the nursing home, didn't have any hands and feet. And so I asked somebody about it, and I said, what happened to him? How come he hadn't got any hands and feet? Well, he got drunk one night, and it was a very cold night, sub-zero weather, and he couldn't get his car open. He fell asleep in the, or fell down in the gutter and couldn't get back up. And he froze his hands and feet because of drunkenness. And now he's in a nursing home. He can't take care of himself. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. The old devil doesn't show you that. He shows you a good time that you can have because of alcohol. When I was a kid, I was just a kid, 14 years old. I was working at the Atoma Hotel. My job was to clean. And, well, it's one of my jobs. I think I was a do-all guy. But anyhow, clean, and one of the things I had to clean was the bathrooms in the bar. And folks, I want you to understand something. I'd go in those bathrooms and it stink, and it wasn't what you think it was. These people drink and they go in there and they throw up and they couldn't hit the toilet. All over the floor. And I was responsible cleaning it all up. And I want to tell you something, nothing turned me off any faster to alcohol than cleaning up that mess. It was a mess. But yet these people had fun. Next day they don't remember what they did. They don't remember that they threw up all over the bathroom floor and some 14-year-old kid had to clean it up. They don't remember that. But they had fun. They had fun. See, that's the snare of the devil. That's what the old devil wants you to see. He wants you to see the good stuff. He don't want you to see the bad stuff. He doesn't want you to smell the vomit. He doesn't want to... You know what? He wants you to think of the Marlboro man when you're smoking your Marlboros. He doesn't want you to think of the guy that's dying of lung cancer in the hospital. He doesn't want you to see that. He wants you to see the tough guy that's smoking the cigarette. See, the old devil has a snare, and he'll trap a lot of people that way. He's trapped a lot of young people that way. People have fallen for it, and they're out there having a good time right now. But I guarantee you, the way of sin is the way of death. See, it's a robber of time. It's a robber of time. One day those young folks will look back and say, oh, if I'd only done things differently. If I'd done things right. But I went the way of the devil. Number four, the reality of time. The reality of time. Here's the problem with time. It proves how frail we are. That's what's wrong with time. We're frail. Look, if you will, over here in Psalm 39, the book of Psalms. And notice what it says here in Psalm 39. I'll get there eventually. Psalm 39, down here in verses 4 and 5. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end. And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know what the problem is with youth? They don't know how frail they are. And I've told you this many times, been here so many times, and practically your pastor. No. The fact of the matter is, when I was in my 20s, I didn't think there was anything that could stop me. Honestly. We hardly ever slept. We were doing something all the time. You know what? When I got in my late 30s, that caught up with me. And all of a sudden, I couldn't do the things I did when I was in my 20s. You see, frailty started to set in. It was in those days that this up here started turning gray and also turning loose. And the grayer I got, the weaker and frailer I got. Now I'm a little older than that. I'm not going to tell you. But I'm a little older than that, but I really realize how frail I am now. Look, if you will, here in verse 5. It says, Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Salah. Look, if you will, in the 90th Psalm. Psalm 90. And notice what it says down here in verse 12 of Psalm 90. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Just because somebody's old doesn't mean they're wise. I've seen a lot of old people that aren't very wise. But the problem is, in this world that we live in today, it's hard to find somebody that's wise. But those that have applied their heart to the wisdom of God, they are wise. And if you lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask God, and He'll give it to you liberally. We don't have to be dirty old people. We can be godly old people. Yeah. We can be that. And that's what I want to be, is a godly old person. Look, if you will, in the book of Ecclesiastes again, and go to chapter 12. Chapter 12, the last book, or the last chapter in Ecclesiastes, and we're talking about the reality of time, and this is what happens through the years. Now in verse 1 it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And you know what it calls old age? The evil days. The evil days. You know, some call it the golden years or whatever. Well, the golden years really aren't so golden sometimes, are they? No. No. Notice what it says. While the sun, verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, talking about your eyes going out, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, it's talking about your trembling hands and arms, and the strong men shall bow themselves, that's your legs, they're the strong men, the grinders cease because they are few, oh my goodness, you're losing your teeth, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, you're losing your eyesight, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, you're losing your hearing, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Listen, he brought up at the voice of the bird. The fact of the matter is, he can't sleep at night. He's running to the bathroom all the time. In verse 5, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. They can't go in high places. They're scared to death. They're going to fall. You see what happens when you get old? We're talking about old age. That's the evil days. And fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. What on earth is the almond tree? That's that gray head. The almond tree shall flourish. Yeah, boy, I'm telling you what, we're talking about old age. And I think Solomon's the only honest person in the Bible. He's telling you how it really is. These are the evil days. Don't let somebody tell you they're the golden years. It's the evil time. When are you supposed to remember your Creator? While you're young, while you can do something about it. Had an old fella in our church. And he said, I remember back when I was working. I said, boy, I'm going to serve God when I retire. Then when I retired, I was too tired to serve God. And that's the way it goes. Don't put off till later what you should be doing as a young person. Young people ought to be stepping in now and doing the job. The old folks are there to teach them. The old folks are there to guide them and direct them, help them not to get involved in the things they shouldn't. You listen to the old folks, because why? They're supposed to have some wisdom. And the young people are supposed to take up the mantle and get out there and do the job. Why? Because they're young. They got some strength. They don't know when to quit. They never get tired. But the old folks get tired. Notice what it says here in verse 5, and also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be broke, shall be a burden. That's the kind of scooting around. You're not hopping around anymore. And desire shall fail. Yeah, all the human desires are gone, because man goeth to his long home. and the mourners go about the streets. The long home. This is not eternity. And by the way, this is not home. We're just passing through. Somewhere beyond the blue, amen?
Amen.
Home. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the relentlessness. Let's say it again. Relentlessness of time. What is that? You know what? The battery can be dead on that clock and stop that clock, but time doesn't stop. The clock may stop, but time keeps going. Used to hear this, time marches on. Folks, it does. Just keeps on going. Time is called, in James chapter 4 and verse 14, time is called a vapor that appeareth for a little time. That's our life. It's all in a vapor that's here for a moment. You know, if you lit a match, you know what a match would do? You put that match out and there's a smoke that goes up. But you know what? It doesn't hang around forever. It's soon gone.
Amen.
That's the time of our life. Folks, what should we do? What time is it anyhow? Well, the Bible says it's high time to wake up. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, the time is at hand. You know what? I guarantee you there's folks sitting here tonight that aren't ready to see the end of their life. Because they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. And if you're not saved, you're not ready to leave this world. Now there's some. I pray most of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior. It's time to wake up. Look around. You know what? It's not all peaches and cream out there. We're living in an evil, wicked time. And it's not going to get better. Somebody has this delusion that it's all going to be better someday. It's not going to get better. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. There will be deceivers deceiving and being deceived. It's going to get worse and worse. But now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You can't depend on yesterday. Yesterday's gone, and you certainly can't depend on the religion of your parents. You can't wait until tomorrow because you don't know if you're ever going to make it to tomorrow. I've been at this for 40 years. I'm going to tell you, I've seen it happen too many times. Folks, the first funeral I ever did when I went into the ministry was an 18-year-old girl who thought she had lots of time. An 18-year-old girl, very beautiful young lady. And she was snatched off the street by some pervert who took her out in the woods and raped her and stabbed her 118 times. And she went out into eternity. I remember a mom looking at me and she says, why? I was a kid. I didn't know why. I still don't know why. Why do things like that happen? I don't know. But so the rest of us can wake up and realize we have a short time on this earth. It's just a vapor that appeareth for a little time. We don't know how long that vapor is going to last. You could be here until you're 90, 95, but you could die tomorrow. It's time to wake up and be ready. Time. You can't depend on time. I remember we used to have, when we were over in Germany, I was in the army, and we lived in a little apartment on the third floor. And it was just a little shoebox that used to be the attic of the house, but the Germans were renting it out as an apartment. And the way they talked, it was a luxury apartment. It wasn't. But we were up there, and I remember we had cuckoo clocks. I went, if you ever go to Germany, how many have been to Germany? Been to Germany? All right, you go to Germany, one thing you want to do is buy cuckoo clocks. So we had cuckoo clocks in every room. My goal in life was to get every one of those cuckoo clocks synchronized so they cuckooed at the same time. Well, I did a pretty good job. They were a little bit off, but I did a pretty good job. But you know what? At 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to hear cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo coming from every room. So we had to take the weight off of the cuckoo clocks at night so we could sleep. Folks, I want to tell you something. People are acting like the weights have been taken off. They don't have to worry about anything anymore. They're not going to hear the cuckoo anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter if the weights are taken off or not. Time is still moving along. Even though the bird can't come out and cuckoo, time is still moving along. It's time now to get ready. Let's stand very quietly, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Our precious Heavenly Father, we do love You. We thank You, Lord, for this time that we've had to be in Your house. Lord, I just ask that You do a work in our midst. I know that some would just like to get it over with and leave, and others did appreciate what was said from the Word of God. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, right now that You'd work a mighty work in each and every heart. I pray that we'd stop and realize that we will stand before a just and holy God one day and give an account for the way that we used the time that we had here upon this earth. Lord, I pray that if we realize that we're wasting our time, we haven't consecrated each day to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to come and bow before You at this altar, and Lord, change things in our life that we could start walking and using each moment of time for the honor and glory of Christ. I pray for the lost to be saved, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You'd convict them, help them to realize that it's not a joke, that this is serious time. Oh, we like to have fun. We like to hear a joke every now and then, and we like to laugh. But Lord, please, this is not the time for that. I pray, dear God, that we just take this moment of time and realize I've got to make a decision for Christ. Please have Your will and way in each heart, dear God. Please do a work, we ask. And we turn it all over to You right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.
At this time, our altars are open. 308 says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender